This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Fiona O'Loughlin, and I heard that my old ID was getting a bit boring, so here's a new one. Hello.
That's right. Oh, hello. That's it. You're on Joy 94.9. It's Brian here.
And Cass.
And you're listening to Lefty Pinkos.
Yay! For another night. Now, so it's a very exciting night tonight because it's Reconciliation Week, but also just because it turned out that way. Tonight, we're inviting in the Out Black crew.
The Out Black mob, which is Australia's longest running GLBTIQ and sister girls group. We actually planned last week to have them in this week, and I forgot that it was Reconciliation Week.
And Sorry Day on Sunday. I knew it was that. And I was thinking, oh, wow, we could tie in Sorry Week, but now we have the perfect reason.
Yeah, totally. Like, we're getting got the blackfellas in here this week. So I can say blackfellas actually too, but I just say
he's
that because I'm an Aboriginal person myself. I'm pretty excited. We've got the mob from Out Black in, and we'll be chatting to them over the next hour. And actually, last week's show, Kath, we talked about cyberbullying, and we got some really good feedback about it. And I just thought it'd be nice if you kind of did some more stuff around that. I've had a bit of chats to people out there in the community.
It must be a bigger issue than we think.
Well, yeah, I think we scratched the surface, so it'd be nice to sort of, I guess, get into that one. So I just thought I'd make mention of that at the start of this show here. But yeah, if you've got any feedback for our guests with Out Black, I do encourage you to SMS us in on 0427 Joy 949, or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au, or...
The other thing is phoning.
Did you
say phoning? Sorry, I wasn't listening. Isn't that terrible? No, I was thinking about the next thing. The phone number here as well with our lovely, I think, pretty sure that's Geordie out there. Oh, my God, he's gorgeous. Is 1-300-JOY-949.
That's right.
So settle back. We're going to have some fabulous black music from around the globe. We thought we'd just do Australia, but no, we're drawing far and wide.
We are.
And it's totally a Reconciliation Week Lefty Pinkos special.
Although, I mean, I just got to make an announcement. I'm going to actually go to Iceland with our first track for today.
Why not?
I had the wonderful joy of, that's a nice pun there, of, having a little niece born on Saturday.
Oh, congrats.
Last week. And I was asked to actually give her a name. And I came up with a name from our language, which is Machangala, and that means lightning. So I thought I'd like to dedicate a song to my little niece who was born on Saturday and play some Björk. This is her track Thunderbolt, which is all about lightning, I guess. So this one's out to you, my little niece.
More of your favourite shows. Joy 94.9.
That's a very unusual end to a track there, Brian.
Yeah, that's that's Björk for you with a Tesla coil, actually. It's an electronic instrument that creates energy or electricity or lightning, as is the theme of the song.
Oh, wow.
And that's the kind of sound it makes. It's pretty pretty beautiful, very deep, very bassy.
Yeah, got my attention.
Yeah, very Björk, though.
You're with Lefty Pinkos on Joy. Kath and Brian here. And tonight, our special guests are the Out Black crew, which includes Brian.
Yeah, let's just be upfront about that.
So I've just been really happily surprised to realise Out Black has been running for nearly 18 years. And we have in the studio one of the founders of Out Black, Rhys Kinsey. Hi, Rhys.
Hello.
As well as having, Crystal McKinnon with us. And Crystal is resident DJ and... generally a wonderful person about town,
She's
about
one,
Out Black.
One of our most amazing contributors, actually, I must say.
Oh, thank you.
Yes.
Perhaps we could start with the beginning, Rhys. How was Out Black born?
Well, I suppose when we think back to 1995, there was a group of Aboriginal gay men about town, and there was some sister girls around as well, our lesbian sisters. And, I suppose there was a need... for a place we always sort of hoped for and everything like that. And as Aboriginal people isolated and then going out to the clubs, it was like we need a social support group, somewhere we can come together and then people don't have to go out and be by themselves when they're out in the mainstream discotheques and discotheques. That's an old
that's
word.
That's a very
now.
80s word, yeah.
Aww,
Riggs.
How cute. Showing your age.
Oh, crikey, that was the clubs. Well, how about that then, the clubs?
No, yeah, you're an elder, so yeah, run with it.
You're allowed
run
to.
Run with it, yeah, I'll take
and,
it.
And so it started sort of as a social group, and what sort of things would you, you know, talk about, or, you know, what were those sort of central issues of the day? Or rather, have they changed? Are they the same, or have they changed?
Sadly, some things are still exactly the same. But the central issues was getting a board together, mm-hmm. and naming our founding members, having our patron, wondering what we could do next, and just somehow or other things went towards doing a drag show because, like, well, I suppose initially our convener was Ronnie Johnson, who's sadly passed now.
Yep.
And he was our convener for a very long time, since, you know, going way back then, 95. Although officially we didn't begin until the 12th of September, 97.
Oh, okay.
Which was when we had our very first show.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And so, so I was saying about Ronnie, and I'm losing it, I've got dementia too. And the issues was trying to get some sort of base, really, initially, and I was going to tell you who all the founding members were.
Yeah. Who are they? Yeah, like, who are some of them?
So, Ronnie Johnson, mm-hmm. and he was a big one, and then there was Michael Murray, James Mullett, who was also passed, sadly,
mm-hmm.
Paul Willoway, and myself, if that makes the whole lot of us.
Yep.
Ronnie, Gary Kenny as well. Gary Kenny actually thought of the name for our group, Out Black. I always wanted Stick, which was still together in kinship, but I got bowled over.
Oh, no, well, yeah, well, and actually I understand that Out Black was too, like there was a New South Wales, Sydney-based group called Black Out, and so Out Black was kind of like a cheeky inversion of Black
Out. Yeah. We were sitting in the Star Hotel having a meeting deciding about our name. Is it Star mm-hmm. Hotel? Used to be in... Is it still going?
It's the Star's not there anymore yet. I mean, it's still the pub, but it's actually not the Star anymore. It's some other kind of...
Just,
something on Hoddle,
just
yeah.
down near...
near the Collingwood Town Hall.
Yeah. Towards the Laird, eh?
That's right.
And, so we would have a lot... Ronnie and the guys had some friends there. And one of the good things was that there was some of the guys were going out with non-Indigenous fellas. And so there was sort of like the support that come in through them, like, you know, Grant really well.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
Grant Beatty. And also Anthony Paul. You remember Anthony? He used to go out with Les Butts,
yeah,
sadly,
no,
who's
I
passed
don't.
As well. And, and so there was them and there was the elders that were in the community that were involved who were good buddy friends of Ronnie's and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, social support and try to get a base, start a committee and all sorts of things like that.
Yep. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. We are going to take a little bit of a break here with some announcements, but we'll be back to chat to Reese Kinsey.
And Crystal McKinnon. And Brian from Out Black.
More of your favourite shows.
Joy 94.9.
Beautiful, Kath. I love your live reads. You're tuned into Joy 94.9. It's Lefty Pinkos here with Kath and Brian. And we're chatting to the mob of Out Black. It's Reconciliation Week this week. And, we thought... we didn't plan to bring in some Aboriginal people, but it just so happens that we've got them here. So welcome again to the studio, Rhys and Crystal. Now, we've been chatting about the history of Out Black, and I guess you've mentioned to a lot of the founding members have actually since passed on. Why is that, Rhys? Like, is it sort of... being Aboriginal, is it being kind of gay? Does these compound health issues or
really sad actually? Because recently we've been talking about sort of like having a memorial to all the fellas that have passed away and everything,
mm-hmm.
and also friends of Out Black. You know, people like Maxine Barr, for example,
yep.
Granddaughter of Aunty Marge Tucker,
mm-hmm.
and so. Maxine used to come along to our drag shows and do the makeup and help the guys dress up in their frocks and everything like that. And, what was the question, Brian?
I guess just about health and, you know, like as in, like there's been a lot of, I guess, passing of the founding members and that's what, 17 years ago.
Well, what's really sad is that we've had a couple of the fellows sort of live to be mid-50s,
mm-hmm.
And our patron was Uncle Lloyd Clark.
Yep.
And, of course, he was older when he passed. But of all of us sort of younger bucks, if you like, all the brothers, when we all started, you know, none of them sort of really passed 55, 56, which is pretty sad. That's just way too young for us all to be passing on and everything like that. But it's been different things. You know, I think of people like Otis Badenoch, for example, and Charlie Williams' brother, Mervyn Williams, as well, and Les Bucks as well, and all people. And it wasn't the same thing, and it wasn't like we HIV sort of bowled us all over and or anything like that. There have been a couple instances of HIV and all sorts and everything like that, but
I guess the reason I ask is because, you know, Outback is Australia's longest-running Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander group, but yet, and like places like Queensland and those Aboriginal people in New South Wales are serviced by, I guess, people within the AIDS councils. Why isn't Outback serviced by the local AIDS council or the Gay Men's Health Centre?
Yeah, well, that's what we've always wondered. You know, we've been going along to a lot of things nationally, like Michael used to be...
That's embarrassing, isn't it?
Michael Murray used to represent us at a FAO, and we're involved with the Anukana getaway camps for Aboriginal people and all sorts. And, you know, Ronnie was on various committees on NAPWA, if that's another one, and everything. It was so long ago, I can barely remember all the names. But,
have you tried to get support from, like, the Victorian AIDS Council and the Gay Men's Health Centre?
Very much. Like, the question we asked was, why is it that every other state in Australia has got an Aboriginal worker for the gay, queer community? And in Victoria, we ain't got nothing. And
really? Wow.
Yeah, it's been like that for all time. And this is going back to in the 90s. Even then, all the other states had an Aboriginal worker, funded by places like VAC and all sorts of places like that. And Ronnie Johnson, Michael Murray, Paul Willoway and myself, in those days we went back and we tried to have meetings with VAC and we did get there occasionally. And
but there's no worker there, is there? There's no worker that exists within the state of Victoria to service Aboriginal populations. And I guess that's the kind of glaring omission I find in this state is that,
unexpected. Yeah, just considering the sort of, the longevity Victoria, of this. And Victoria is a state that's, relatively more privileged than some other states in terms of resources and stuff, really, statewide, and there it is.
Yeah.
Now, I guess I'd like to throw a question at Crystal, who's been patiently sitting there. Because, Crystal, how long have you been involved with Outback?
Well, I think I've been going for about, since I first moved to Melbourne, so maybe 15 years ago.
You were kidding me, 15 years.
The events were always such a great time, and so we used to go down there and watch the shows. And
what happens at an Outback event, can you tell our listeners?
Well, we have lots of performances, drag shows, drag kings, singers, dancers, pretty much anything in between.
And DJs, we understand.
Oh, right? Yes, and DJs.
Who are your DJs?
Well, I'm one of them, yeah.
Yep.
And so we just have a celebratory night just to basically celebrate being Aboriginal and then celebrate being queer. And everyone gets together from the gay community and the black community and then black gays. Everyone mingles and has a good time.
Yeah. So Reese was talking about, the early days being about, social support and having that sort of, social and community solidarity. Are those sort of things still issues now, do you think?
Of course, because I think generally Aboriginal people are a marginalised population, and then add to that being queer, and then you go out and don't always feel included, I guess. And I think Outback offers a way that people can meet each other and gain support and have someone to talk to about these sorts of issues.
Yeah. I felt like I had a bit of a Barney earlier about, that kind of the support from the institutions or the organisations within Victoria here. But, I mean, how does Outback run in terms of, do you run with funding? Do you run with support? How do you run?
It's all volunteer-based.
Well, I was just going to say one thing. I've got to give VAC their dues in one respect. There was a worker there called Vic Perry, and he was really helpful and instrumental in helping us to... He was looked after all the clubs and societies, and, so there might be, a Chinese group and, a Jewish group that were gay and queer and everything, and then he supported us to, and helped us to sort of facilitate. So in that sense, VAC did support us in that.
In that way, yeah. But, I mean, I guess, yeah, the like I said earlier, the glaring omission is that other states have dedicated workers.
Exactly.
And it's like, and we don't have that in Victoria.
I think it's particularly glaring also if you look at the health indicators and the difference between, you know, the Close the Gap campaigns and things like that. And then mm-hmm. you're talking about a whole range of Outblack members who have passed way before their time.
And, yep.
You know,
yeah.
Look, it's some quite of them have been in their 20s. Too. Some yeah. of them in their 20s. Although I say a couple of them, you know, were in their 50s. You know, Brandy, for example, from Ballarat, mm-hmm. you know, he was only like 22 or something.
Yeah.
And Mervyn, you know, he was probably late 30s or about 40 as well. So there's been, you know, there's been a few in 50s. There was been 20s, 30s, 40s and 50s.
Yeah.
And lost about sort of, you know, a whole lot of people in the space of, it's verging on one a year, to be quite truthful, which is really sad.
Yeah. Mm. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to Joy 94.9 Lefty Pinkers. We're chatting to Rhys Kinsey and Crystal McKinnon from Outblack, Aboriginal Australia's longest-running GLBTIQ and Sister Girls group. If you've got a question for these guys or this mob here, you can SMS us in on 0427-JOY-949 or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au or you can call Gordon, who's on the desk at the front, and get a message into us via 1300-JOY-949. We're going to play some music as programmed by our very special DJ for Outblack, Crystal McKinnon. This is a little bit of Shakira.
More of your favourite shows.
Joy 94.9.
Indeedy-doo. It's nearly 8:30 here on Lefty Pinkos on Joy. You're with Kath Duncan and Brian Andy, and we're with our guests tonight, Crystal McKinnon and Rhys Kinsey from Outblack.
Outblack.
We've been talking about lack of funding. We've been talking about the sort of things that Outblack does. And I actually wanted to ask you guys, how did the recent camp go?
Yeah, you've had a camp getaway. Like, I understand you raised some money from your last gig. You've been running on the smell of an oily rag.
Camp went off.
Yeah, and you made a profit and you went on a camp.
Was there about 20 people?
I love the way Brian talks about that as if he wasn't there.
Brian,
well, I'm trying to be impartial here and, you know, ask the right questions
really?
And get the right, set the right
That'd
tone as a presenter here on Joy. But no, tell us, Rhys, how'd the camp
go?
I'll tell you, look, I'm going to start off with something sad, first of all. The really sad thing is that the last time we were able to have a camp because of any funding that would come through was like about 8 to 9 years ago.
Wow, okay.
And so, like, I work with sexual health at Melbourne Sexual Health Centre, mm-hmm. by the way, and I was going to be delivering a session. But, you know, we really needed to bond. And in hindsight, after having the whole camp and everything, people didn't want to hear me talking about STIs. People wanted to bond and have a good time and get to know all the brothers and sisters because, you know, we're geographically dispersed over the whole of Melbourne mm-hmm. and around the state and everything. So, you know, we don't all know one another and everything like that. And so it was a really great opportunity for all the fellas and all the sisters that came along too. There was 16 of us, 4 sisters and 12 brothers that came along, Brian and I included. But, as I say, we had a great old time and, you know, did all sorts of things.
What sort of stuff did you do?
What did we do? How do you ask that impartially?
Yeah, I can't.
Where were you? You weren't on Yorta Yorta land.
No,
you weren't there.
Gunditj Mara country, which is basically takes in places like Portland. It's the western part of Victoria. It's almost near the, I think they might go up toward the South Australian border. But it's basically kind of like lava, rock country volcanic ashes. And Haywood, where we stayed, actually, they had this a great tsunami coming from the sea and dump all this water that then became a lake. And then, so mix that with the kind of volcanic ashes. You've got this sort of rocky landscape full of tiger snakes, basically. but beautiful scenery, beautiful vistas. And
also got these huge, what do you call them, sort of like underground caverns and gorges and everything like that for fishing and all sorts of things that they grow there. In fact, just speaking about the Gunditj Mara, I mean, Brian's probably heard this too, you know.
No, tell us, please.
Oh, way back when, in the probably the 1800s, actually, Aboriginal people being, should I say it, massacred here and there.
Yeah, no.
And eventually... got jack of it. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, there were Aboriginal people who were coming from all over Australia, and they were coming down to Gunditjmara country. It was a Gunditjmara person who told me that. Yep. So all the blackfellas coming from all over Australia and actually put up like a, it was like a mini war. And, you know, just sick of it, being Aboriginal people being massacred and all sorts of things like that. And, yeah, that was one of the... And they, so they called them the Fighting Gunditjmara, I was told.
Yeah,
they,
really?
Yeah. And that's, I mean, even their, like, history, like, historically there was resistance where Aboriginal people, and particularly the Gunditjmara, would... there were sheep brought in by the non-Indigenous invaders, and they, you know, had paddocks and all that kind of stuff. And the Gunditj were famous for stealing their sheep and killing them and using them for food, but also just kind of basically attacking their livelihood in a response... It was resistance, basically, mm. but in a response to their lands being taken up. Yeah,
mm. Oh. It's fantastic, isn't it? And so they've got a lot of knowledge down there in Gunditjmara country, a bit like your country, Ayora Yorta.
Yeah.
A lot of knowledge in those two areas. But, yeah, back to the question.
So, no, yeah. So it went off. Yeah. It was totally cool. But Krista wasn't there.
No, sadly.
Unfortunately, no, she wasn't.
And so when was the last time you performed for this group? When was the last time you span the discs or whatever it is?
Last year, yeah.
Ha. Huh. And when's the next one?
Exactly this
up,
year,
isn't
like
it?
This year. So it's NAIDOC Week.
It's usually
week,
in the middle
week,
of winter, isn't it?
Yeah,
right.
Like each NAIDOC Week, which is the National Aboriginal Islander Day of Celebration, it's actually a week of celebration across the first, I think it's the first.
First week of
from,
July.
From the first Sunday of July, basically.
Right.
And so this year, Outback are putting on a bit of a show on Friday the 12th of July, yeah? And but yeah, just tell us, what. How was last year for you, Crystal, in terms of the Outback and, you know, what'd you get up to?
What did I do last year? I played music.
Yeah.
I can't remember where it was. It was somewhere in the city.
At the Royal Melbourne Hotel.
Venue changes each year. We're still trying to get the venue right.
Yeah.
And, yeah, it was basically we had lots of different performers, and then I played some music, and there was another DJ, I think, after me who played some.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it was just a really great night. Such a great vibe. Everyone's just... in celebration, I guess.
Well, what's the night mean to you in terms of, like, well, you're queer and you're Aboriginal, but also it's NAIDOC Week. What does that mean? Why is it so important to stage an event during NAIDOC Week?
Well, I think it's a great place for the Aboriginal community and people who are in Melbourne to come together and just celebrate all things Aboriginal and all things gay. It's like a melding of both communities under the one roof, which doesn't very often get to happen. Yeah, so...
Yeah. And so what kind of crowd gets to Outback? I mean, because it's like there's probably around about 60 or so queer-identified people in the Aboriginal community in Victoria, Melbourne. But, I mean, like you get about 400 people at your events here. So who makes up the rest of that population or that crowd?
Probably lefty pinkos and black pinkos, maybe.
Yeah,
probably.
Yeah,
partners and elders as
black
well.
Black lefty pinkos, white lefty pinkos. No,
actually, that's something, Reese. In terms of the elders, like it's a policy that Outblack has continued from the start in terms of inviting elders to your events for free. Why is that?
Why is that? Because we were never wanted to be exclusive of anybody in the Aboriginal community, and of course, our elders have lived a lifetime to see more racism than the rest of us, the elders, and they embraced the brothers. They embraced, like, you know, Yarra Jean get up in a frock, Miss Yuck Guy, and Leah Sim, you know, and all the guys that would get up in the old days. It just for a little bit of trivia, I was the MC for the first several years without black shows.
Did you enjoy doing it?
I did. I'd come up and I'd call out and say, well, we've got Miss Yarra Jean coming all the way down from Gunai Kurnai country, and she's going to be doing such and such a number for us. And yeah, and she'd come out in a daily outfit. She used to have this outfit that was an Aboriginal flag, a frock coming all the way down, or miniskirt actually, and all the cooey'd. As you remember, Michael used to say cooey'd, and he'd be out there and he'd be cooeying all the way to the bank. No Wi-Fi bank.
Indeed.
But and we'd have food for the elders, you know, because we didn't want anyone to sort of, like, you know, to be getting really drunk and trashed and, you know, and sometimes, you know, the cops be outside as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, the last thing we wanted was for people to be going out without having some food in their belly and stuff like that. And so, and the elders would sit up in the front tables and everything like that, and they'd be up there screaming and yelling, and they were having a hoot of a time.
Mm. I think it's a sign of respect too.
Yeah.
Like, I think within the Aboriginal community, we celebrate our elders and, you know, like to do lots of events, hang out, mm-hmm. you know, and it's a sign of respect to let to make sure that people are able to come, you know, and all the venues obviously have to be...
accessible and whatnot, yeah. I mean, yeah, like you've kind of, I mean, talking about elders and whatnot, but I mean, there's, when do you often get asked about how your sexuality is accepted within the Aboriginal community? Like, Crystal, I've heard you speak about this.
Oh, because I wanted to ask about that, but was a bit embarrassed.
No, well, just, yeah, like Crystal's talked about it and quite eloquently about, you know, acceptance of sexuality within the Aboriginal community. Can you please, like, tell us, how do you feel as a queer identified person and your acceptance within the Aboriginal community?
Well, I think that I don't know if I'm going to be quite as eloquent, perhaps, as I have been in the past. But I think that being Aboriginal is often the primary identity of people, and so mm-hmm. of Aboriginal people, should I say? And so the queer thing's often secondary, you know. And so it doesn't really. I don't think you get the same sort of issues with coming out in terms of ostracisation and those sorts of things that, unfortunately, happens in a lot of other communities, you know. And I think with Aboriginal people, we have such a, what's the word? Like a extended family, like we
second cousins,
third cousins,
or,
yeah. And so we've got such a large family. We've got such large families anyway. So, you know. It's never just going to be a mother and a father and a sister type of situation.
So even if you got rejected by some, there's no, you'd still find allies in other parts of your family and so forth. Yeah, right.
Wherever we band together, we become a family very often. You know, we've been thinking of students at uni all banded together and became family because they'd be coming from all over Australia to do Indigenous performing arts. And, yeah, become a family of brothers and sisters.
Yep.
Can I ask another potentially embarrassing question? Because trickling at the way back at the back of my mind is, have there been group dating? Like, have people come along to the group hoping to kind of, like, pick up or score or whatever? And have people been lucky at that? Now, no names. No, let's not. I'm just interested, you know.
It's kind of fun. I mean, like, can I just speak to this? Because it's kind of funny because, I mean,
everyone's
whenever I...
And
yeah, like, it's a funny and it's a great question, Kath, because, I mean, I often... I've only been with three Aboriginal men myself, and it's
out
like
out of hundreds. Sorry,
out of many, and it's kind of like
bragging now.
But moving on, yes.
But moving right along, I mean, yeah, I've only been with three Aboriginal men because and like they've been from far flung places, like from Queensland, from WA, and the latest one was like Gamilaroi, which is up sort of you know kind of. Just getting specific with mobs and tribes. But yeah, this Gamilaroi fella that I've met recently, and he's like, yeah, like that's the only three Aboriginal people I've been with because I always think, you know, like Reese is like my brother or my uncle almost, Crystal's like my sister, and all the mob that are involved with Outblack are like, you know, they're like, they're literally like my brothers. It'd be sort of incestuous if I were to get with them, I feel.
So there's not much intergroup dating going on, I guess. Although, that's the feeling I get.
I mean, but Crystal, we can put Crystal on the spot here because Crystal's...
Oh, no.
Yeah?
Crystal's passing on that one.
No comment, Crystal?
No comment.
Okay.
What about you, Reese?
You got woman, eh? Well, I probably sort of had... Can you say sex on the radio?
Yes.
Yeah, of course you can. It's Lefty Pinko.
Had sex or in relationships with several Aboriginal men. And,
but that you met throughout Black or just from anywhere?
There was one or two strays.
Okay.
Up on a trip.
Cute. Okay.
And,
I'd like to know someone gets lucky somewhere in there. You know?
Oh, this is all a long time ago,
I think the thing is, like, most people know each other, and if you don't, like, if you see someone else who's out, you'd go up and talk to them and say, hi, I'm Crystal, I'm Bob from here, where are you from? Like, they're the same sort of kind of ways of relating within the queer scene and outside of the queer scene. So,
right.
You know, like, yeah.
But there have been
relationships.
It's
not a random... Yeah, there's
some romances.
Yeah, yeah. There was a couple on the camp, actually. Yeah, I mean, if I don't want to name names,
no,
I don't. But there were a couple of. There was a previously, there was a previous relationship, I guess, and love interest, and then there was a burgeoning one. So,
And the fact that everyone knows each other, though, as well, makes it difficult to avoid someone in the future and when you break up.
Oh, yeah, good
and
point.
That the rest of us, the rest of us make us the other's shame. It's like,
and you're going to see everyone at Outblack.
Totally. It's like, you can't sort of burn bridges because you got got to go to Outback. But yeah, you're listening to Lefty Pinkos on Joy 94.9. I'd love to get some SMSs for our guests here. Just any questions you might have about Reconciliation Week or about Outback or about, I guess, you know, you might have a question about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander culture. You can SMS us on 0427 Joy 949 or you can email us at onair@joy.org.au. We'll be back after these announcements with some Tony Braxton, a request by our special guest, DJ Crystal McKinnon.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, that was a sexy Tony Braxton with You're Making Me High. And what's making me high here in the studio at Joy 94.9 are the Outblack Mob. We've got Crystal McKinnon and Rhys Kinsey here, and we're talking black, aren't we, Kath?
We certainly are. And in that break, I just heard an amazing story about how you came out, Brian. Tell us.
Yeah, I guess my coming out to the Melbourne Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community was via Outblack. Uncle Ronnie Johnson, who is no longer with us, was the convener at the time, and he said he wanted... I actually kind of approached him and said, look, I want to let you know I'm gay. And he was like, you know, well, yeah, you're our next MC for Outblack, basically. And I said to him, yeah, like, I'll do that then. And I got up on stage at the start of the gig. As a 24-year-old. So that's, what, about 12 years ago. And it was at Mayfield's, which is now the Circuit Bar.
Huh.
We used to stage our gigs there. And, yeah, I got up on stage and I kind of, you know, we had a Welcome to Country by Annette Shibris, who is a local Wurundjeri woman. She's a lesbian also with a family. And she gave the Welcome to Country. And then I got up after her and I said, oh, you know, you're probably wondering why I'm here, people. It's because I want to let you know that I'm gay. So that was like my kind of coming out to the community.
Very appropriately.
Yeah, there's no turning back.
at an Outblack. That's just fabulous. Now, it was Sorry Day on Sunday.
That's right,
yeah. What's Sorry Day mean now for you guys? How many years is it since?
It's been 15, 16 years. I'm really bad at maths, but it was tabled in 1997
right.
In the Federal Parliament, the Bringing Them Home Report. And I guess, yeah, like from my perspective, Sorry Day is about, I guess, upholding that report. It had 54 recommendations to government to say, look, this is what we need to address the problems that forcible Aboriginal child removal caused in communities. And so, yeah, there's some things that have happened, but I mean, even like the thing like an apology, a national apology, took years to happen. It wasn't until like, you know, about 10 years later that it actually happened, because people just squabble over these things when it comes to Indigenous affairs, federally but also locally. So, yeah, but I guess Sorry Day is about kind of marking and honouring that report, because within the report there were like 500 voices from across Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Australia.
I was lucky to read a copy of it.
Yeah, that kind of, you know, summarise and talk about their experience and, you know, some harrowing, tear-jerking experiences that people had. And so Sorry Day, May 26th, is about acknowledging that, that report and those stories and that need to basically address the problems of the past.
How much has Outblack been, like, a directly, you know, big capital P political group, and how much a social group or a performance group or solidarity group? Like, what's been the balance between all that?
I'll talk from the initial part. So in the initial part, we'll see Ronnie, our convener, he's like Brian. He sort of have like one finger here and one finger there, another one in every pie around the place.
Hey, not in pies.
And so I can remember being after like an ADOT march, and we'd end up in Federation, what's it called?
Federation Square.
Yeah, and you know, the big screen up there, and then Ronnie be on the front of the stage. And I tell you, Ronnie can work a crowd. He'd be up there and he had everyone all fired up and everything. But he didn't have his Outblack hat on then. He didn't have his lecturer hat on, as he was a lecturer at Northern Melbourne Institute of Technology.
Yeah.
As he was for many years. And but we all were in many ways. Look, I can think of Greg. I probably shouldn't say surnames, or can I? I found sort of political. And because, see, we weren't always just in Outblack, we were always in other things as well. It's like in my own community, which is the Geelong Ballarat region of Victoria, Kulin Nation as well, as is Wurundjeri. We were fighting for, you know, recognition and all that sort of thing, and as traditional owners and all sorts. So, although... And so, you know, there's a sort of like a political arena within my own work, a political arena within my own family structure, and the level of politics that we were involved with in Outblack, in trying to advance ourselves as a group.
Right. So it's sort of, I guess, it's kind of breathing and living politics, isn't it, really?
Well, yeah, when you think of a Whaoa and a Nukanar and everything else like that, and all those, you know, all those events that we went to in Sydney, all the marches that we did, and all the performances we did at the back of the Arts Centre, and all those things we did in the past, which was so much fun. Doing our radio program, Outback Show, on a Saturday afternoon from 2 to 4. Mm-hmm. I was behind there doing the DJ.
The panelling and stuff, yeah.
But I never learnt this modern stuff here.
Yeah, it's very technical nowadays. It's all digital and, yeah.
Speaking of which, so where is Outback headed? You know, what sort of desires, aspirations do you have for the future of Outback? You guys, all of you.
I guess, I mean, yeah, just like from my perspective, it's like, yeah, it's about kind of ensuring that we get those services. Like, mm-hmm. we've been running on the smell of an oily rag, mm-hmm. getting, you know, token payments or not even payments, but funding to do things. Mm-hmm. Our last camp getaway, I was actually quite proud of that, the fact that we raised money from our last gig. It was the first time we ever turned a profit, and we said, let's treat ourselves and let's take ourselves away and, you know, be revived culturally and just sort of, you know, be revived socially about those with those kind mm-hmm. of things. And, yeah, it just sort of annoys me and gets on my goat that, you know, places like the Victorian AIDS Council don't commit to supporting us in the way that they should, whereas ACON, the New South Wales AIDS Council, they have got they've had it in the past two Aboriginal workers who work with the Aboriginal community, and I've lived in Sydney too for a couple of years, and I, you know, it's a very transient community up there in terms of the blackfellas, whereas Melbourne, we've got this longest running Indigenous support group, we've also got this longest run, I guess, this a consistent population of Aboriginal people that they're there basically ready to be serviced and to be connected with, and, you know, and we just don't have that kind of support. It just sort of, you know, it just blows my mind. I don't know why they can't just be down with this. And, I mean, you know, VAC doesn't even have, like, a Reconciliation Action Plan mm-hmm. as a kind of way to say, hey, we're ready to engage mm-hmm. with the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander community. They just don't sort of have that kind of, I guess, vision. And we're just waiting for it. We've been waiting for 17 years for it.
Mm-hmm. Crystal, what would you like to see happen?
Well, I think I can't follow Brian's.
Oh, no, you can. I'm sure. Like, I mean, like, it's not just about the political.
Yeah, maybe you've got another vision or, you know.
Oh, look, I think that it would be great to have lots more younger members involved mm-hmm. To ensure its continuation over the next 10, 20, 30 years, because it's such a great group of people who do an amazing job. Completely all volunteer based, like a lot of hours every week actually, particularly leading up to events. Yeah, and I would like, you know, just to ensure its continuation, I guess. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's been a big one of mine actually, that, you know, we've always needed someone who was going to be able to help look after the young ones. You know, there's so much drugs out there now, and there's, mm-hmm. there's a lot of STIs that are, you know, really invading people's lives, and in many ways they, you know, like it, you have to lead a really sort of straight sort of life, pardon the pun, but, you know, you can't go out and party the way you want to and stuff, and, yeah, the young ones, they need that education around drugs, like, and STIs and a whole lot of things. We need sort of to try and raise our own funds as well so we can help some young ones, you know, with all of these issues around housing, drug support and a whole other things, and have an Aboriginal worker that can support them in all of this and, mm-hmm. yeah, advance things for the future, because, you know, one does have to ask, why are, we all know across Australia Aboriginal people don't live longer, but it's, you know, exactly the same thing is happening, and it's just been so bad in terms of the people that we've lost, and been very, very sad going to, like, funeral after funeral for a while there and stuff too. But, yeah. And, you know, when Brian can say too, like, when we went along to this weekend, Brian was high as a kite, but not on drugs. He was high on life, being with, you know, with all the brothers and everything. He was, and we all, and I, you know, you sort of sit back and you reflect later on, and everyone was. We were all really happy because it's like we didn't have, you know, the main barriers that we do on day-to-day life and all the rest of it. We had a really good time.
It was kind of funny too, because, I mean, like, while we went away on Friday the 17th of May, and it was actually International Day Against Homophobia and Transphobia, and it's like, you know, while you mob, the rest of the world, the mainstream world, are kind of there, like, going, yeah, no to homophobia, no to transphobia, we just thought, blow it. Let's get out of town and let's create a space that doesn't have that. And it was really kind of, I think that's why I was so high, because it's like, you know, we are here to support each other, to look after each other, to kind of not be, yeah, like be part of, you know, not experience any racism, not experience any transphobia or homophobia. And it was a really nice kind of space. And the Gundinj were just beautiful in terms of Damien Bell. I must pay my respects to him. He was our gracious host on that weekend. And, he looked after us. They've got this amazing property called Kirtnij. And it's just this, they've got the house there. They've got all these sites, so like eel traps, this kind of these beautiful sculptures that are made by local Gundinj Mara artists. So it was just all on the one property. And it was just like, wow, we got to experience that on our own bloody back too, which is like, I guess why I get so frustrated. It's like, why can't we be supported when, you know, all these other mobs are supported, you know, funded, etc., and we're waiting still to be supported by local services accordingly and respectfully. Yeah.
Particularly, I think it's a problem because a lot of the services expect involvement for nothing.
That's like, the thing, yeah,
they want,
true.
Your expertise.
Know, yeah, and they want to...
And fulfill, your contacts.
Yeah, and, you know, a part of a lot of funding agreements and that sort of thing is Aboriginal meeting those needs, but they expect, you know, we all work and we all study and do a whole lot of other things and, you know...
Yeah, and we expect to just, do that other stuff too.
Yeah, yeah, you expect to do it for nothing all the time.
In the old days, Crystal, when we used to do the mail outs and the newsletters, we'd go into the VAC, so... And we'd be doing all these mail outs, the newsletters, printing the envelopes and all the rest of it like that.
And
now, why did I bring that up? I've forgotten now. Oh, God, I have got dementia.
Good timing.
Well, yeah, talking to the elders here.
This is, you've been listening to the Out Black team. Well, some members of the Out Black team, Crystal McKinnon, Reese Kinsey, and Brian, wearing two hats tonight as my co-presenter and also as another Out Black member. Well done, guys. Nearly 18 years. Pat on the back time. And where is that funding, state government? If you're listening tonight, we expect the check to be in the bank
tomorrow.
We'll
be knocking on your door tomorrow, okay?
You're with Joy, of course. Coming up next is...
The Catching Up Crew. So tune around and stick in... Tune in and stick around for that mob. They're another deadly mob. But we don't have enough time to play any more songs by you, Crystal, sorry. But we'll just have to play some announcements and, yeah, and then we'll...
See you next week.
See you next week.
More of your favourite shows.
Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.